All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Jick and Skullhead and Riff and Hot Stuff show coming to you live from our satellite office in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and our other satellite office in Fuzzle Faggot Ridge. Gentlemen.
Yes.
Woo!
That's no gentleman. That's me.
We're neither gentle nor men.
Your mom's no gentleman. Well, yeah, take that.
So I'm curious as to how much of a delay. It's weird being in a house with reliable internet, as there just are no such buildings in the entirety of Arizona.
I wouldn't necessarily call our internet reliable.
I mean, I've been aware of a single minute or two outage the entire time we've been here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited.
There was that strange, inexplicable power outage where half of my house lost power. And then the other half lost power. Turned out it was some sort of external transformer that was doing weird things. Like, half the house lost power, and, like
it turned into a car and drove into half the house, and then it turned back into a robot and punched a hole in the other half.
Yeah.
It happens.
Those energon cubes were involved.
How was your weekend, Mr. Skullhead?
God, weekend. There was. Yeah, one of those. Oh, on Friday night, we went to the Minnesota Orchestra. Because they were doing a Pops evening called To Boldly Go, and it was hosted by George Takei, and was a full orchestra playing, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Star Wars, every Star Trek theme, and then, like, Gustav Holst's The Planets, and also Sprach Zarathustra, and just, like, music from sci-fi movies hosted by George Takei, and that was pretty fantastic.
That's neat.
And George Takei has one of the most pleasant speaking voices I have ever heard.
Yeah, he's also got that weird Asian thing where he never ages.
Right, well, there's a picture of him upstairs in his house. It just keeps getting older and older.
I see.
Also, we figured out George Takei's voice is part The Tick and part Hugo Weaving.
I see.
So if you start with The Tick, and you add some Hugo Weaving, Mr. Anderson, then you get George Takei. The Planet Mars.
Hot Stuff showed me the, I've been slowly refining the mystery mustache. I didn't just get rid of it as soon as the mystery hunt was over, but I'm slowly thinning the top part and lengthening the end parts, and he played the section of the cartoon The Tick where he wakes up with the mustache.
Oh, right. Is
this
that what you're going for now?
Everything.
Upper lip, stick and hip, pointy on the ends.
And the ladies like it. I mean, the ladies don't like mine because I never leave Hot Stuff's house and there aren't any ladies.
What are you talking about? My house is filled with ladies.
There are no ladies.
You were in fact agog at the presence of naked ladies.
Yeah, one of the housemates has a
fetish,
really sort of an annoying habit of just wandering around naked.
Yeah.
Did you not, Kevin? Did you not warn him? No, Hot Stuff. Whoa! Did you not warn your roommates that you were having a guest who was terrified and disgusted by the naked female body?
Yeah,
I did. I think that's specifically why she.
She just does it to get a rise out of. Not that kind of rise, but
February is out of the month.
No, it's annoying. Because it's like, hey, has anybody seen my naked? It's like, shut up. Could just go into a room where we're not. Yeah, it's not even like funny. Naked. It's just annoying.
One of my former fraternity, or I guess still fraternity brothers, whatever, his Halloween costume was just a tie. Like, all he was wearing was a tie. And he was like, we had a band at our house for our Halloween party, and he was downstairs watching the band, and he was like, why is nobody else watching this awesome music? And of course, you know, it was just like, people would come in, look into the room, see him, be like, okay, and then go upstairs.
And those are the kind of friends I always wanted to have. The kind who would get naked at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, he would...
If all they were wearing was a hat, yeah, I mean, that would in fact render them naked.
I tend to go with the Tom Jones version of naked where you can leave your hat on.
I see.
Yeah.
We're working on cool stuff.
Yeah, we are working on cool stuff. I'm excited.
Chick and I developed an entire alien language.
Yep. Yeah, this stuff will, I don't know, few days, I'm saying. We're getting real, real close to done. It was, you know, I had, when I first conceived of this trip, I had two minor projects and two major projects that I wanted to make some serious headway on while we were out here. And I was like, you know, okay, well, we'll do the minor ones, and then we'll start working on the major ones. And so far, we have scrapped one of the minor ones, gotten almost done with the other minor one, and made almost no progress on the two major ones.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of discussion.
That's true. There's some rain work going on, I guess. But,
I'm trying to remember what the second major one was.
Yeah.
Something you can tell me later. Oh, right. Okay. Well, yeah, we're doing a...
Oh, no, we got research missions. Yeah, research field trip. We get to hang out with Mr. Mag some more, and that's always a good thing.
It's handy to hang out with him because he'll tell you what you're working on.
It's weird. It's like actually having that concordance that we talk about. Talking to Mr. Mag is the only way we can actually figure out what's on pages ahead of the pages that appear today.
Right. He has a very limited superpower, but it's incredibly useful for us.
How lucky are we that we met him?
Yeah, if he never played Kingdom of Loathing, he never would have known.
Yeah, I know. Or he would have known, and he would have just been like, "What? Curse this weak, weak power. Weak. Useless. Yeah. So, Anything else exciting going on there? There are no weekends here.
Yeah.
I hear there was some sort of sporting event this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I watched the entirety of that game and was riveted.
Really?
I hear
the end was kind of exciting, but...
Yeah, like, every year I watch the Super Bowl because I like to watch the commercials and the halftime show, and every year I pick the underdog team to root for because it's pointless to watch the rest of it if you don't root for a team, but... I was like yelling at the TV and high-fiving people, and it was it was a really exciting game. And then there was Tom Petty, and that was awesome. And yeah, it was good stuff.
What position was he playing?
He was the halfback.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe he was half-baked. I'm not sure. He looked a lot like Jim Henson, though, which was kind of
dead
off-putting. Like Jim Henson did, like, maybe 6 months after he died.
What else was were there any interesting commercials? Look online today for the wrap-up.
There was a good one of a guy eating nacho cheese Doritos, and he very carefully cuts off a tiny slice of it, and of a chip, and places it in a mouse trap, and puts it in front of a mouse hole, and just sits... and kind of eagerly anticipates what's going to happen, and like 3 seconds before the end of this commercial, which has just been this guy sitting staring at a mouse hole, a guy in a full mouse suit just explodes through the wall and knocks him over and beats the shit out of him. It was perfect.
Huh. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I didn't, there's no television here, so...
We have a projector for watching movies.
Yeah.
And a screen upon which to project.
We keep saying that we're going to watch movies, but we keep not doing it.
We do?
Well, I want to watch Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, because I've never seen the whole thing.
I didn't realize you wanted to watch those on this trip. I'd be happy to do that at some point if you wanted.
Riff hasn't seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid either. We need to remedy that.
Riff hasn't seen either of those movies. V for Vendetta, the movie version.
Neither have I.
Really?
Actually, yeah, my wife watched it and sent me a message about it. You know,
In a positive or negative way?
Well, she was like, I'm watching V for Vendetta. I'm like, oh, is it any good? And she was like, whoa, you haven't seen it?
I find it quite... I mean, I've not read the comic. I had sort of, perused it, but I wasn't a big fan or anything like that. And I thought the movie was really good.
So. Does Natalie Portman ever get petrified, naked, and or covered in hot grits?
She gets bald.
She gets bald.
Yeah.
Like somebody balls her?
Yeah. Oh. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's a lot less interesting.
That did not even occur to me. You guys have filthy minds.
So has the word ballin' recently come into popular usage as cool or something like that. Like
yeah, like Ballin and Choctawlin and Brawlin.
Well, I mean, that's like I 10, just 10 recently started seeing it all over the place and don't remember seeing it elsewhere.
I thought like, the Icy Hot Stunteds and their straight Ballin brought that back into the internet vocabulary. But that was 4 or 5 years ago. That's as old as this game.
Wow, man. Yeah, fucking 5 years. In like a few days.
Yeah. So I have to start going to school soon.
We don't have any anniversary content.
Oh crap.
I mean we don't need any anniversary.
Well people were saying, what kind of awesome shit are they gonna do for this anniversary? And I think a few people said probably the same awesome shit that they did for the last anniversary, which was nothing.
Well, but I mean, you could also say the same awesome shit that we do all the time, you know, which is to just keep adding content to the game that, if I do say so myself, gets better and better over time. You know, it's like wine, you know, and if you think that's, you know, you think that's because it gets better, you're right. I wish I hadn't actually known how that quote went so that I could have not butchered it. Yeah. What did we do yesterday? We walked around Harvard Square yesterday. And we parked a car in Harvard Yard.
We went to a couple comic book shops and had a burrito.
Yeah, we had a burrito. We went to one comic shop that is a record store like half the size of a football field with two
tiny rack
3-foot shelves full of comic books, but it's called Newbury Comics.
Which, I mean, we went to a Newbury Comics, which was not on Newbury Street, which is the one in Boston, which is what it's named for.
I see. Did we perpetrate a lot of Newbury while we were there?
Yeah, I believe we did.
Because we were like, well, you guys don't have any comics. And they were like, shut up, noob. Everybody knows we don't have comics.
It's actually a store that I think would carry the Pretentious Artists line of toys.
Well, they approached you about it in one of the shows, right?
And then I don't know if we ever heard back from them, so...
That happens a lot. People talk to us, and then...
Yeah, they get really excited about stuff, and then they just never contact us again.
I mean, and I guess maybe the way that kind of thing works is that you're supposed to be really excited about the opportunity to grow your business and be really aggressive about going after
them.
We're
like the worst capitalists ever.
Yeah, we're just like, okay, we're just, you know...
I just gather that we're insecure and we have low self-esteem. We just think, oh, well, maybe they didn't want to talk to us. And maybe we came on too strong, and maybe it's us. So, did you do anything to commemorate the one-year anniversary of 13107?
What was that?
The medieval peasants in Boston freaking out over brightly colored lights.
Oh, no. No.
I was pleased to see on Boing Boing that somebody had made little LED photos kind of in that, or pictures kind of in that same vein of, like, a barely recognizable George Bush and Bin Laden and Amunanite and stuck them up all over the city with little plaques that say, not a bomb, it's just for the lulz.
Huh.
Like, good. You know, make fun of Boston for that as much as you possibly can, because Jesus.
We proposed a t-shirt design. Somebody wrote a t-shirt design on our fridge, which was like the diagram for an LED, and then a not equals sign, and then the picture for a bomb.
That's cool.
Which I think would be a nice t-shirt to wear around. But
I think it might have been a Slashdot article that linked to the TSA has started a blog.
Yeah.
And it's like a place. Did you see that, Scully?
Yeah.
It's like a place for them to communicate with people, and so it's like, you know, every once in a while a TSA employee coming in and saying, like, I think the TSA is awesome, and then, like, for every one of those, there are 9,000 people saying, stop this bullshit liquid policy. You know, and this was a legitimate exchange between somebody on this board and a TSA employee. What could I possibly be concealing in my flip-flop? And the TSA employee replied, a bomb.
How many ounces of plastic could you get into a flip flop? I guess if you made the flip flop out.
Yeah, if you made the flip flop out of plastic explosives, but
well, why not my belt or my
and
hat?
And then
the
X-ray machine wouldn't notice anything if that was the case.
Yeah, and it's you know,
The only
they keep talking about, there's this research that shows that it's very plausible to make a two-part liquid bomb, and it's just not. You know, like, where is this magic difficult science you're finding that nobody else knows about? And, like, they won't produce anything, and it's just... You know, the most common complaint that people have is, okay, you're treating these like you're treating my bottle of water like it's a hazard, and then you're just throwing it into a trash can right next to security with all of the other bottles of water. Or, there are lots of stories of, like, yeah, I looked back and saw the guy drinking my water.
Well, maybe they were just really thirsty one day, and they're like, no liquids.
I mean,
and then they couldn't back down.
Yeah.
What we want to hear from the TSA is, well, besides you ain't got nothing to worry about, Jules, I'm on the motherfucker, is, no, none of these rules make any sense, but we are obligated to enforce them, and they're handed down to us, and we have to enforce them to the letter of the law, because otherwise it would be obvious that they didn't make any sense. You know, like, we have to make you throw out your bottle of water, which is obviously water, because if we didn't, we'd have to, you know, let the guy behind you keep his 3 ounces of juice in an 8-ounce container, and we have to be really strict about it, or, you know, it'll be revealed for the farce that it is. But even the director of the TSA said that the lighter ban was security theater, and was completely ridiculous, and thank God we're finally getting rid of that.
I mean, yeah, it's a little strange that you're allowed to take on a compressed container of explosive gas, but not a fucking bottle of water.
Right.
Yeah. This is why I try not to fly anywhere. I'm walking home.
Yeah, but your foot hurts.
That's true. I think I got some plantar fasciitis.
Really? I got some planters peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
Are they fascist peanuts?
Yeah.
Planters what? Fascist peanuts. I don't know that I actually have plantar fasciitis. One time my wife's foot hurt, they told her she had plantar fasciitis. Although I think itis just means something being inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if your hand hurts, you have handitis.
My only regret is that I have bone-itis. You've seen that episode of Futurama?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the guy.
See, that's the guy 80s, we should get...
The 80s capitalist.
Yeah, that's the guy we should get to.
We should put him in charge of our financial development.
I wonder if there is just, like, a douchebag for hire service. We just, like, we need you to be our douchebag, to do all the stuff that we're not willing to do because we're not douchebags.
But hiring somebody to do that kind of makes us douchebags, you know?
I mean, we need someone to hold our douches.
Right. Well, like, Ben and Jerry's, before they got bought out, they had to hire a douchebag because neither of them were capable of making the business grow without, without being a douchebag. So they weren't capable of kind of jibing their hippie values with the douchebaggery they needed, so they hired a douchebag.
Yeah, we're doing okay. If we ever get in trouble, then sure.
Then we'll probably lose everything and have to start over.
Yeah, you know, then we start over knowing what we... You know, we know
they
that we're...
They can't take our knowledge.
That's true. We know that we're capable of it, so, you know.
What if we something in such a way that all of us end up lobotomized?
Well, wow, that would suck.
Crap. Yeah, damn. Yeah.
Hey, guys, I've got this great idea. We're all going to run at this wall at full speed.
And then we'll have blades pop out of the wall at just the depth of each of our frontal lobes.
I would say like an ice.
We could all get into that new trepanation fad that's going around.
Yeah, sweeping the nation.
Okay. The trepanation sensation, sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
I'm a little trepidatious about it.
Me too.
But come on, you can commune with spirits.
What is that that, like, makes the dust pour into the hole in your head or something?
Really. Could be. It would, I mean, if you could, like, just dump a thimbleful of grain alcohol into a hole in your head and it's the equivalent of, you know, drinking all night, but fabulously cheap.
I think I would go intravenous before that.
What if wouldn't you just take a thimble full of, like, tomato sauce and stick it directly into your stomach, and it's like eating an entire pizza? Wow.
I think you're onto something.
You could carry on just a handful of thimbles full of, you know, food.
Yeah, we've revolutionized agriculture. A single tomato can feed an entire developing country.
It takes a village.
Whose population is no larger than the number of thimble-sized portions contained in one tomato.
Yeah, you know, the FDA never gives you the facts that you really need. Like, how many thimblefuls? They'll give you, like, the 8-ounce serving, but I don't know. How big is a thimble?
About the size of a thumb.
Right. Is there a set size, or...?
Yeah, well, you just use a rule of thumb to...
Right.
...to determine. Gleebs asks, how much Hugh could Hugh Grant grant if Hugh Grant could grant Hugh? If he ever became a painter, he would be granting Hugh to things.
Mm. We always said that about, what? Oh, Steve Grant in high school. If he could grant Steve's. How many grants? How many Steve's would he grant?
Was Steve Grant that ass? No, Steve Reeser was the asshole that I'm thinking of.
Mm. It's time to play Which Asshole Am I Thinking Of?
Due to today's hemorrhoids, the answer is mine. And I can't stop. Chemistron says, I also like the idea of a super long quest that permanently unlocks Bad Moon. Have I been uploading the radio shows? Somebody sent in a question that led me to believe that I hadn't, but I remember uploading every one that I've done. Have you been paying attention, Scully?
No, not at all.
No, all right.
I heard you just now. I've been paying attention, but I haven't been...
Sure.
Let me... I can look.
Isimble says he finished Super Mario Galaxy, all 241 stars, before he stopped listening.
Huh.
241?
Are there 241 stars?
I thought it was just 240, because you get 120 twice. Is there a bonus one?
Probably.
Maybe you get one star for having all 240 stars.
Right.
And then you get another star for having all 241 stars. Once you get to that point, you get to play through every level where every square inch of ground has a star on it.
And then you have to collect all the purple coins without hitting any of the stars.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished Super Mario Galaxy, but that's been more the like travel and working on the house rather than a lack of desire to do it.
Aren't there billions and billions of stars in the galaxy?
I think so.
Not in Mario's galaxy.
I think Sulu would tell you that there are many stars in our galaxy. Anyway, I do want to get Endless Ocean, though. Because that seems like a game that's not actually a game, and that seems like it's right up my alley.
Just really?
Swimming around, petting dolphins.
What's it for?
Wii.
I wonder if it's fun.
Reports have varied. Penny Arcade Guide seemed to like it, but they liked it in a way that frightened and confused them. Like, this isn't really a game, but we can't stop playing it.
I need to know more about what's out there to find. I mean, if there's cool pirate ships and undersea ruins to explore, then yeah, I'd be all over that. But
there are.
If it's just, like, coral reefs, I'm not sure that I care.
No, there are, like, ships and underwater wrecks and whatnot, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. Like, I could see how... I don't know. I mean, I could see how you could make a game that was about exploring the ocean, but still have a game structure on it, and I would get really into it, right? Like, you know, you earn points by taking pictures of stuff that's out in you know, the more interesting it is, the more points your picture is worth, and then you use those points to buy new areas to explore. Like
Pokemon Snap.
Oh, like Pilot Wings. Except in Pilot Wings, you fly around taking pictures of stuff, and how good the picture is how many points you get.
I see. Or like Dead Rising, where you take pictures of zombies, and however many zombies are in the picture is how many points you earn to make you better at killing zombies.
Really? What?
Yeah, that's part of...
Is there a little mini-game or something in there? That
no, that's actually kind of... The deal is that you're a photographer. And it's I feel like the conceit in Dead Rising is basically like you play it you're stuck in a mall with zombies for 48 hours, and, you know, your score in the game is you know, depends on how well you document your 48-hour stay in the mall with the zombies, right? Like, the, you know, how good of a photo... What do you call that?
Photo,
like a photo essay? How good of a photo journal? What is the unit that a photojournalist produces? An article?
Story.
A story? Yeah, okay. But, I mean, that would work if it was possible to fucking complete the 48 hours. Like, I would have really enjoyed that game if it was like, you know, if you were sort of replaying the 48 hours, but you didn't have to accomplish really incredibly difficult specific goals in order to do that. You know, so then the improvement factor does work. But yeah, I mean, you get points for taking, like, sort of pictures of people being reunited with their spouses that they were separated from or whatever. You know, you get a bunch of extra points for like, you know, it being touching or whatever. Or, like, you know, you find, like, a zombie whore laying spread-eagled in a lingerie shop, and you get points for it being erotic.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Ew.
Yeah, no, it's... Oh, what was that?
Something on my computer is making noise. This TV has words on it. Hi. Sorry.
I don't know that I believe this. I'm going to look at Order of the Stick.
Oots.
What have you been told?
Oots. That Order of the Stick had a KOL reference in it. I'm not sure that I...
It's possible that it just mentioned something that
mentioned
we also
something
had.
That we also mentioned, yeah. How the fuck do you... How do you look at Order of the Stick?
With your eyes?
Yeah, the problem with Order of the Stick is that it is 10 times as long as a webcomic should be.
Maybe he's referring to the fact that there are stick figures.
That could be.
Because that's kind of a reference, since we invented stick figures.
We did. It was awesome. I mean, there is somebody wearing an enchanted pine air freshener. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, probably.
I'm inclined to chalk that up to the same kind of parallel evolution that makes Munchkin so similar.
Yeah. And by parallel, you mean they did it and then we did it without knowing about it?
Yeah, and it's not parallel in time, it's parallel in concept.
I guess that's true. They go far more down the road of, like, parodies of existing Dungeons and Dragons stuff rather than parodies of everything the way that we do it, you know? Like, because we're only really nominally fantasy most of the time.
Right. I mean, we specifically avoid going heavy into sci-fi. I mean,
that's true. We'll
bring it in just because
it's fun. We're eventually making Galaxy of Fear.
Right, right.
Even though we can't get that website because of some Star Wars Galaxies guild.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know what? Star Wars Galaxies...
They'll go under.
Everyone will eventually have forgotten about Star Wars Galaxies, so...
And then we can make fun of them.
Yeah. I'm going to head into Hachi Station and get some power converters, even though the power converters are cheaper over in Mop's douche bag. Player-created content is the future, Scully.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are we going to go Web 2.0?
Uh-huh. So Dr. Van Van Mojo basically won the math thread about last week's radio show. Turns out the formula we were looking for was very, very, very simple.
For what now?
Just something that we were talking about trying to do. Like, basically, I've been for a long time looking for a way to define a curve that, like, approaches a number without ever getting to that number. I'm not sure that the shape of the curve and using Dr. Van Van Mojo's sort of outline for the formula is malleable enough to really suit a lot of purposes that I would use it for, but, you know.
I mean, it's just the exponential function. I mean, we could come up with some sort of crazy, logarithmic thing, I think. But crazy.
crazy. We could drop some crazy logs.
Yeah. Could deposit some loaves.
A logarithmic function?
Logarithmic.
Maybe we could use biorhythm functions.
Force feedback.
I prefer eurythmic functions myself.
Sweet dreams are made of them.
Yeah. I disagree.
I can't disagree with that.
Wait a minute. By what right do I do that?
William of Kim also sends the exact same formula. Clever. Mr. Smoothie says, I noted today that there appear to be eBay sales of KOL items up. I don't know if, I didn't know if you guys had, if you folks had asked to have them pulled or not, but thought you might like to know. We never said anything to anybody about anything, ever.
Yeah, they cracked down on their own accord.
We didn't see anything.
None of us actually know how to speak.
Yeah.
There is currently only one.
What is it for?
Something in me.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine that it will be pulled.
Yeah, it seems like they pull them down as soon as they notice. Although I don't know if we're on their list of what they check regularly.
I think we are. I think that we did not used to be, but we are now because they removed like all the World of Warcraft ones and those just stopped appearing, but they.
Ooh.
No, what did you see?
Oh, that guy won't even ship it.
I would still like a Murloc suit. From BlizzCon, but it's still like $100. It's just
only $100.
Well, the Murloc suit is
how much are our pets that they gave us at Comic Con?
$400 or $500.
$400.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm still using the pet though. I don't even care. I'm not gonna sell it. It was a gift.
Yeah, I use mine right now.
I know. I just haven't gotten around to it. It's sitting there next to my computer. I just haven't. Yeah, little giveaway from the first BlizzCon.
we're gonna buy like 80. Entries to BlizzCon next year.
No, we're not.
Dude.
Because everybody else is, too. We'd just be pissing away money. It's not going to be worth anything. If they have any sense, they will stop doing it. You know, we can't... Like, just the same reason that we don't give away custom KOL items for people signing up to attend KOLCon. You know,
yeah.
Because we can't. Wow. Are we actually going to go to BlizzCon 80 times each? No, I don't think we're even going to go once.
I kind of want to go.
Is it around the time of Comic-Con?
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks later, a week later. And it's up in LA.
28 days later?
I don't know if it's 28 days later.
Neon Rev says, so yesterday when I went to let my friend into the room, the teacher asked who it was. I said, some guy with a gun. I wonder what he wants. Yeah, I really don't think I'll ever be allowed back into that class again. I wonder if that you would actually get kicked out of a class. Can you get kicked out of a specific class in high school?
You can get sent to the office indefinitely.
But I mean permanent. You just have to go to the office instead of going to that class every day for the rest of your
life.
Yeah. Even after you graduate. It's weird.
Silence there and nothing more.
So a little bit of heartburn on account of this delicious beer.
We got some weird beer for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Local brews. Oh, I have a picture that I have to upload. We bought this beer that was Lazy Mutt was the brand, but instead of coming in 6-packs, it comes in 8-packs.
Uh-huh.
And on the side of the pack, it says this 6-pack has 8 beers in it.
Huh. Oh wow,
that's awesome!
Fantastic.
So, I mean, should we contact our lawyers to get compensation for their obvious? Use of our material.
I'm going to say that reference is Creative Commons.
All right.
Does saying something is Creative Commons make it Creative Commons? Like,
yeah,
could I steal something from somebody else and then just say it was Creative Commons?
Totally. I think the creator has to deem it Creative Commons. Although, Creative Commons is only just kind of a gentleman's agreement kind of thing. You can't sue someone for violating your Creative Commons license.
What's the point of it, then?
To show that it can work.
What if you get creative common law married?
That's like living with someone for 6 years while
writing
taking pictures of all your bowel movements. Or Yeah, I'm just more creative than you, man. Sorry.
What about creatively uncommon? Like or rares?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to think of an uncommon in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Disenchant. Disenchant, I think, is an uncommon.
It's not very creative, though.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's been a long time since I've had to think about the relative rarity of Magic the Gathering cards. Yeah.
Nope, Disenchant has come. Well, I don't remember what kind of things were uncommon.
Soul rings?
Really? Were those just uncommon?
I think so.
They got banned, man.
All the good shit got banned.
Makes sense, though. Something that you would put in every deck that you ever made, regardless of the composition of the deck. Otherwise, that seems like a good candidate for this card is too powerful.
True.
But, you know, who are they? Who are they to say what cards we can and can't use?
That's right. Stick it to the man.
We played. Was it 10 years ago? I guess it was like 12 years ago that I was really playing Magic, or 13. Yeah. It was like 94, 95.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yep.
I mean, not so much sad as depressing. Scully, we got old.
Almost yeah. Half of our life.
We got old real quick.
Do they do 15-year high school reunions?
Some schools do. I think my 15-year reunion is coming up. Oh, my 10-year college reunion is coming up, and that's what I keep getting mail about.
Yeah. Are you going to go?
I mean, I still see everyone that I left, like, yeah that I like from college. So.
They have a name for people who hang around at MIT after they've graduated.
Cruft?
That's Cruft, yeah. And I can see why you'd need a name for it, because there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. I mean, why leave the one place that you've found that's, like, that you feel accepted or whatever? Even though, really, people think you're kind of creepy. But that's what matters is that you feel accepted.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I'm just kind of bouncing around in the questions. I don't...
Yes, I'm finding it very hard to follow you through the...
Yeah, that's why I'm letting you take the lead. It's totally not because I'm also just randomly surfing the web.
Natural selection links to the Sexy Losers comic that I referred to on Thursday about the... Bukkake lesbian impregnation.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I read some Sexy Losers doesn't seem to have been updated in several years. let's see. Still looking at questions. The questions... The thing is, we haven't really done anything that's got people talking in the last, like, you know, week or two, so... Questions are
we have to push some of our stuff out so they're all excited again.
Like our necks?
Yep.
We'll stick our necks out.
You go first.
No. Silly Sally says, why can Mr. Mediocre Bars be mall sold and traded but can't be auto sold? I don't know. Do they just not have.
Yeah, I ran into that with
auto,
the...
Because they're not discardable. Yeah,
same with the Bitto ectoplasm.
That's fine. Oh. Weird. The Bitto ectoplasm and the Bitto cactus have different...
Capitalization.
Forms. Yeah, okay. So let's make the... The Bitto ectoplasm is another Halloween candy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then you might as well make that auto-sellable.
There wasn't some reason that we had them?
I don't think so. I think one of them was not auto-sellable, and then a lot of the other Halloween candies got cloned from the first one.
Ah, that explains.
Because, I mean, I remember at one point going through and giving all the Halloween candies auto-sell values so that people could get rid of them, but they were a lot of them were not marked discardable, so they couldn't be auto-sold.
I see.
Huh. That is a problem. The Tristero says, why does Rollover remove Beaten Up but not Sleepy? I don't know. You know, we could make Beaten... We could make Rollover remove all negative effects, but that's a little abusable.
Yeah.
We should just make it, like, remove all effects, period.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It'd be the return of the sniping PvP.
And the snipe hunting minigame.
Yeah.
And the snipe hunting minigame.
Michael, no!
That was the worst impression of Kit I've ever heard.
But what was really impressive was the red LED that flashed across his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, still, I thought it was more Cylon than Kit. Sorry, Riff.
The police are on their way.
Topspin says, any chance of getting high-powered whips? I want to be able to goad my dandelion on and still be able to fight the monster afterward. No, the point of whips is that they are low power, but with good enchantments. Although, they don't so much have good enchantments anymore.
They were good
at the time, yeah. They filled some niches that there weren't no other niche fillers for.
Well, you know, we can... I assume at some point we'll be putting in higher-level skill or skins when we do the high-level crafting stuff.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, there will one day be...
We would review the whole kingdom in, like, purple on black.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the buttons will be triangular and
stuff.
Yeah,
and they'll be very tall.
Yeah.
GigaShadow Fafafa says, hey, what are your thoughts on Luigi's Mansion? I thought it was underrated. People were expecting a lot more, but it was still really fun. I never played Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, me neither.
Never even heard of it.
That was one of the first GameCube games, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't even know what sort of game it was.
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We was watching some... Oh, it was linked on Metafilter, just this absurdly hard Super Mario World... ROM hack where all the levels were designed to just be
impossible.
Yeah. Like just exactly not impossible. Like, they're just relying on insane tricks to get through them. There's one video that was a sort of catalog of all of a guy's failures. Like, it was
kind of cleverly made.
Hundreds of individual Marios just dying as they progress through this level.
It was like thousands of games superimposed on top of each other, and you could see all the different deaths as it progressed linearly through the time signature or whatever. And then there was a machine-aided perfect play through the game, which was kind of cool to watch.
Mm. Jose Cuervo says, shouldn't the female version of the Roy Orbison disguise be the Laura Palmer disguise? She's dead, wrapped in plastic.
That's kind of funny.
Goblax sends us some anagrams of gift shop guy, such as Typhus Fig, Soy Pug Fight, Push It, Foggy. If we ever hired Foggy to disseminate code to the live servers, that would be something that we said all the time. Push it, Foggy.
Or if we ever hired Foggy to do to do nothing but sing songs by Salt and Pepper.
That's true. That's true.
You gotta admire the tenacity of someone who's willing to keep trying to get us to name the gift shop guy.
How many? He's been on that for multiple years.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta admire it, but you certainly don't have to capitulate.
It's kind of now a. Do we have the stamina to stand up to it? Really?
Yeah.
So it's sort of a mutual contest.
We do.
Oh yeah.
I mean, only one of us has to be able to stand up to it at any given point, because the others of us can just take the day off if we're feeling weak.
That's true.
Oh, sorry, man. Okay. I feel like I might name the gift shop guy today.
I'm going to need to beg off early. Occasional JD says, have any of you seen a show called The Mighty Boosh? If not, you should check it out.
Boosh.
The Hot Stuff played a skit.
Oh, my
skit.
God.
Yeah. You should... Have you seen the old Greg skit?
Yeah.
It is...
Just... Bizarre.
It is very creepy.
That is my sole experience of the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the show in general, but that the old Greg stuff is, and it's funny, but it's kind of out there funny. It's definitely like British absurdist humor kind of. I mean, I don't know if that's their whole show, but.
Gosh, I'm really glad that you installed that add-on that makes the annoying dinging noise every few seconds.
I'll turn off the annoying dinging.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Riff. He suddenly became a WoW-obsessed capitalist.
It's like, you know what it is?
I can run this thing in the background.
One employee of Asymmetric has to constantly be playing World of Warcraft before the universe ceases to exist. So, like, now that Hot Stuff's actually getting some work done, it's Riff's job to pick it up and... Biospock says, you know how there are two astronomers? Will you ever rig it so that divine champagne poppers scare both of them? I just popped one and got another the next adventure. That's a good point. They probably don't... We probably have the tools to make it so we no longer need multiple copies of the same monster. Although, what's weird about that is that why are they different monsters?
I don't know that they are. They're just in the list.
I'm not sure that that's true, though. I think that there are actually two. You know what it is? They have different drop rates. They have different drop rates. Yeah, that was the problem.
But we can fix that, actually, I think.
I guess we could manipulate the drop rates in the conditionals.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah. We could pay, like, we could just put in a 50-50 chance of changing the drop rate of one of the items.
Well, that might have a problem with this skill, though.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's. I mean, we can sort of remedy that kind of.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But that's actually a good point. That is totally why they exist. Like, we no longer have like the two versions of the cross dresser, one of which drops the shirt and one of which doesn't. Right. Like,
wow. Those are two different.
Yeah, they were two different monsters. Yeah, and it was because there weren't conditionals on drops. They weren't. And how the fuck did I design anything without? Like, seriously, I do not understand how we were able to ever do anything without conditionals on drops.
Well, I mean,
we just didn't. Nothing was as interesting, right? Like, it was all just like one-time adventure. Like, I guess every monster that dropped anything important dropped it 100% of the time,
right.
And then you could never see that monster again. At least
okay. The complexity has definitely increased.
How young and innocent we were.
Okay.
All the monsters had lollipops and tra-la-lod.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're all doing crack in back alleys. Yeah.
Crack in back alleys.
Crack in back.
Crack in back.
Crack in back. Crack in back. Crack in back.
Release the Kraken.
Barbecue sauce. I was just about to start doing. I want my Kraken back. Kraken back. Kraken back.
Wonder how to punctuate that and Rift discovered it perfectly. Yeah. Sorry about this whole all over the place on questions. Sorry. Max Vance says, there are very few items these days that use meat paste. Have you ever thought of making any more meat pasteable items? Yeah, that's a...
We've been thinking about destroying all of the meat pasting.
No, I mean, we can't... I wouldn't want to get rid of meat pasting. It's just, it's so...
Because
it's so
every item is in the list, and there are now... over 3,000 items in the game.
Might be time to start marking stuff and having only the stuff that can be pasted, the other stuff show up on the list.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see that happen.
It would make the game a lot more accessible to newer players.
It's weird, too, because the part of it that there are the really, sort of, like, incomprehensible meat pasting puzzles are the very early parts of the game.
Right.
So, I mean... Yeah, I mean, that is probably a change that should just happen as soon as we get around to it, like...
2011?
Yeah.
Right in time for the main calendar to catch on fire.
No two ancient Native American calendars are not on fire. Fred Levi says, Brawl's soundtrack has 314 songs, all of them awesome.
I don't think that's... True. I don't think it any collection of 314 songs that all of them can be awesome.
Well, I don't know. They could all be subtle variations on that Pazzo remix of that Beck song.
Hey, do you want to take a break?
Yeah, we can.
All right. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
All right.
Then I need to pee and blow my nose and all kinds of stuff that I don't want everybody to hear. So we'll be back in a few.
Don't get this confused.
Yeah.
Where the moonlights. Welcome. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
And I don't know about these mashups, man.
I enjoy mashups.
How can you deny so long as that I'm mashup?
Yes, I mean, so long as you're familiar with at least one of the songs involved, they're a lot of fun.
I thought for sure you'd like the Sherbladee Shot Blood Off thing. With you being all up on the Beastie Boys nuts and whatnot.
I'm not sure that Jick likes anything, really.
No, we fully established that he doesn't like things that are good. So, and one can only assume he doesn't like things that are bad. So,
huh.
It doesn't really leave a lot for the liking.
Man, this stuff is cool. So I'm watching over Hot Stuff. Hot Stuff's doing animation work while we're on here, and I am excited about the stuff that we're working on here. This is gonna be cool.
Hint, there's you some guys, animated stuff.
You guys are gonna like it, and there's some animation. Yeah.
I feel so tangential. Yeah. All I've been doing is clearing bricks out of the queue.
I mean, this wasn't supposed to be as big as it was. It just, every time I tried to conceive of how it was going to work, it kind of got idea spiraled. But, I mean, part of it is also that I want to do all the writing myself, which happens to me every once in a while with a particular bit of content.
Sure. So. I frequently do that, like, on the Christmas events and stuff. Like, oh, I'm going to do everything. And then it's like, oh, I can't. I'm going to code all of this myself.
Sure. But, you know, you definitely are the soul of all of those. We do good work.
We do.
I agree. I've pretty much finished all of my part of that next guild quest thing, which is not the next Nemesis thing, but something else I think everyone will like that enjoys optional content.
Hmm. No one enjoys optional content. What are you talking about?
Lots of people enjoy optional content.
What? Now I think you guys are all on crack.
Well, either the reward for it is not optimal, so it's not worth doing ever, or the reward is good, so it's no longer optional.
Right. Right. Hey, my wife just hit level 60 in World of Warcraft.
That wasn't in real life?
No.
I was all like, grats, but now it's just grats.
Have you hit level 60 in real life?
I think by becoming 60 years old.
So every year you hit ding, and there's this huge burst of
totally
warm light.
I'm level cap.
That's funny. We should start publishing birthday cards that just on the front they say ding, and then when you open them they say grass.
Yeah. We have a built-in multi-million audience, what do you call that, market.
I bet somebody else has already done it, though.
Really? We suck. We're slow. Behind the power curve here, people. I really liked Thor the Mighty had a horde symbol in the back of his car, which I thought was kind of awesome.
Yeah, that was
like pretty no cool. Explanation other than just the symbol. Yeah. That was really that's
because you know somebody who knows.
Yeah. It's the same as the like minimalist shirts. Like I prefer those to things anything that says you know Kingdom of Loathing on it. Because people are like it's either a great conversation starter or people are like, hey, yo, like secret you know sort of nods in the street and stuff. Secret handshakes.
Right.
It gets you into certain clubs.
That's true. Clubs that don't have labels on the doors, you know, that you just have to sort of walk into a random door in a random alley wearing a minimalist KOL shirt and they'll let you in.
The Crackenback Alley.
Crackenback Alley, yeah. That was Kirstie Alley's sort of...
lesser known sister.
I was going to say
the horrid offspring of her and a reptile. Yeah. There was also a link on Metafilter to the sort of like pointing out the glory of the internet by linking to a thread on the official Dungeons & Dragons forums discussing whether or not the offspring of the female offspring of a human and a dragon would have tits. And somebody's like, I definitely think that they would have appropriately placed fatty deposits, but they wouldn't be actual mammaries. It's like, yeah, people care about stuff. Yeah.
It's because it's all these people that like to draw dragon women, and they want to be able to draw boobs on them.
See, I prefer to draw women in drag.
Hmm.
They're just wearing some pants, tie.
Yeah. Women in pants and shirts.
I'm just wondering what dragon women will give me on a Google image search.
Oh boy, I'm gonna find out simultaneously.
You can see if you can find that picture of the two dragons having sex with the Buick.
Two dragons, one cup.
Oh god. You know, I actually watched Two Girls, One Cup recently.
Oh
yeah.
Because I figured,
how bad can it be?
I had to. And
it's important as sort of mediators of the internet to future generations, as I feel like we kind of are.
Right, although that's something I'm never going to reference.
Yeah.
What?
You know, honestly, I could see that coming up. Yeah, like
I can see me strenuously objecting to that coming up.
All right.
The only thing that kept me sane while watching it was there was totally a cut between stuff falling out of the ass and the girls eating the shit out of the cup.
Yeah, if you go to 8 Girls No Cup, it is, it irritates me that 8 Girls No Cup is called 8 Girls No Cup, because the first goddamn scene has the same cup in it from 2 Girls 1 Cup. So, like, what's this No Girls, No Girls 8 Cups?
No Girls 8 Cups. That's a great video. Yeah.
No Girls 8 Buckets. It's just somebody playing the Bozo Buckets game.
It's like a stacking competition.
Yeah.
That actually be kind of funny. There's the champion stacker is like a 16-year-old girl. We could start passing around as like, dude, totally check this out. It's like 16 cups, one girl.
Anyway, 8 Girls No Cup has some things that are pretty obviously not fake going on in it, I honestly, nothing bothers me anymore. I don't know what happened to me,
That made me feel a little bit queasy.
I mean, the vomiting into mouths bit, I could get gross. You know what? If they had just been spitting into each other's mouths, I probably would have gagged watching it, but the fact that they were vomiting into each other's and us just like crapping into each other's mouths didn't really bother me as much as spit. I don't know what's wrong with me.
was unfortunate, I watched it in while I was in Arizona, and right after that went out to lunch with Amplitude and Slania, and they picked up the menu and went, oh, there's a like chocolate brownie sundae on the menu, and they opened the picture was exactly what you see at the beginning of Two Girls, One Cup. And I was like, Amp, you don't want to eat that. And he said, why? Two Girls, One Cup. And then he turned green.
Oh, boy. Dragon women doesn't really do anything.
Oh, is it, do you have safe search?
No, enabled? Safe search is off.
Huh.
Yeah, no, I somehow we have
what
found
about
the
dragon
one thing,
balls?
The one thing. The one thing you can search for that doesn't yield porn. No porn on the first or second page.
Weird. I think something's broken with our internet here.
Yeah.
No porn on the third page. There's a woman in some lingerie, but that doesn't count as porn, because porn has to be, big old floppy titties. Big old floppy labia.
Big old floppy titties? Huh.
I remember Big Old Floppy. He was our family dog back in the 70s. There's a painting of a woman in German. Yeah. This is great radio.
while we vaguely describe the contents of a Google image search.
Which anyone listening could just do themselves and not have to have us reading it to them.
Well, anybody still listening could answer all of the questions that people send us.
Still no tits. Page 7 and still no tits. Oh, wait. No, there's some unattractive people having sex. Finally. Game over. Oh, boy. Questions. Yeah. Vlaxand says, hey, Jake, any chance of KOL hoodies appearing in the store?
There was some movement on that, wasn't there? I remember Sly got some samples.
You know, we also got the samples of those messenger bags, but then just never did it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I kind of hate, you know, the idea of buying, like, 500 messenger bags, because who knows if anybody's going to buy them, you know?
Right.
I do think people would buy 50 because then you don't get any volume discount.
I do think that people would go for the hoodies, though.
That's probably true. If they were, you know, pink.
Yeah.
I'd buy two.
I would want them to be hoodies that zipped all the way.
Me too.
Because I like anything that's like a pullover, I'm just never going to wear. I don't know that I'm ever going to wear a hooded sweatshirt either.
Oh, I wear them all the time.
Do you?
But
I have my jacket, and that's like it. That's the nice thing about a leather jacket, right? It's just this sort of magic panacea overgarment. Like, every 10 years, you know, you got to spend $300 on a leather jacket, but
you do.
Every 10 years, you spend $300 on a leather jacket, and it, for me, at least, it is never so cold that I can't wear it, and it is never, you know, it is never, like, a temperature where I'm cold with it off, but hot with it on.
There, given the weather here, like, usually, especially in the basement, you want to wear some kind of sweater or something inside.
Yeah, okay, so I can see that.
A hoodie is a good compromise between not wearing a jacket and wearing a jacket, and if I get really cold, I can put the hood up, and then I can pretend I'm the dude in the video from Donnie Darko.
Right. You know, when I'm out here, last year my wife got me just a bunch of, like, so I don't know what, it's like chamois cloth is the way that I would describe it. It's these sort of like thick, woolly, long sleeve shirts that are nice and comfortable and warm. Yeah, wearing a leather jacket inside is a little excessive. It's like wearing sunglasses at night.
Does that mean I can't switch the blade on you anymore?
Yeah.
That sucks.
You also can't masquerade on me anymore. Another fan says, some arena items do special things for the familiars, like the tiny makeup kit, shot collar, metallic foil radar dish, etc. If you equip it on a comic chameleon, it does the standard 5-plus pounds. Is this to increase the value of the original familiar, or a thing with the code? I mean, it's definitely not, like, a deliberate attempt to make the comic chameleon less valuable in order to preserve the value of prior Mr. Store familiars, because, like, we don't really do things like that. But, yeah, it is all about the code, because that's just how it works. I mean, the comic chameleon having eaten something just determines what kind of familiar it is, and then we just give it 5 pounds. In a way, it's kind of interesting, because it's the only way to get extra pounds functionality out of a familiar that does not have a +5 pounds item. But, I don't know. The comic chameleon's a neat thing. I'm glad that it exists. Kimmy says, couldn't you call the new staff the staff of Ed Begley Jr. and add on about 9 inches? Does Ed Begley Jr. have a large penis? Is that?
I don't know. He has an electric car.
Does he?
And usually those two things go together.
Hmm.
Oh, he's dead.
Ed Begley Jr.'s dead?
No. Maybe not.
The electric car is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed Begley Jr.'s father is dead.
Oh, I see.
So, Ed Begley.
Who the hell is? Yeah. There we go.
I see. He was also an actor. An environmentalist. He was his first movie was a 1972 film called Cockfighter.
Huh.
Yeah. I was reading, it's funny. We have this friend named Dave in Phoenix who, It became well known that he was fairly well endowed, and so he was also really, like, kind of embarrassed about it, so we would make fun of him a lot about having a huge penis. And I was reading this article today from, like, some British tabloid that was a list of the men's names that women report having had the biggest penises that they'd been with, and Dave was at the top of that list.
Hmm.
And it was pretty funny.
This particular Dave?
Yeah. He's been all over England, man. But, yeah. Good old Dave. of all the weird things to be uptight about. Like, hey, shut up. It's not my fault I have a huge dick. I mean, it never bothers me, you know.
His large dick.
Yeah, it doesn't. It stays away from me. And Naked Jew says, why does the alt text for a smashed barrel say, and smashed barrel? It just does. I fixed that. There was something else sent in that I fixed and was going to mention on the air, but I don't remember what it was. Fineldar says, ever thought of a clan mascot or something? It could do stuff depending on what kind you had, and you could be all like, come join our guild, we have this cool mascot, and it's also called funny name here. We talked about
clan
mascots.
I think we did,
mascots.
Yeah.
The discussion of clan mascots eventually became the Rumpus Room, and we never did do the mascots. We still could do the mascots, I guess.
We could do ascots, clan ascots.
That's true.
Oh yeah, like school ties.
Or clan masking tape.
How much is school clan ties that? Clots.
Clan clots?
Yeah, or sure. Clan clots.
Canned clots?
Yeah. Like scabs in gravy.
Them's good eating.
Weird says, how about a pizza oven for the pizzas? Oh, man, I had the best idea the other day, and it really upsets me that this wasn't the first idea that I ever had.
the chef's staff...
You mean like when
the,
you were like
yeah,
1 year
yeah,
old?
Yeah, but as soon as I became sentient. The chef's staff for sleaze and stench, staff of the Dutch oven. Seriously, that is the best idea I've ever had.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
That's another one of those things that that bothers me slightly.
Really?
Because, yeah, there is such a device as a Dutch oven.
I know. That's what makes it funny.
I think one of the first times I became aware of the other meaning is someone posted a picture of Dutch Oven Lane, and everyone was like, that's when you fart in bed and you hold the sheets over your girlfriend's head so she, like, has to smell your fart. I was like, wow, that's fucking retarded. And so are you all for making that a phrase. And
come on.
Then it caught on.
It needs a phrase.
Like taint. The first time I encountered taint as a word for anatomy was in, like, one of Jess's Cosmopolitans. Like, caress the area between the man's balls and his anus. It's called the taint, because it taint the balls and taint the anus. Like, wow, that's retarded. Thank God I'm never seeing that again. Especially in something that I work on for, you know, money and creative juice.
Yeah, we were walking through the pharmacy and there was what was that book? It was like 100 ways to keep your man happy, and we of course joked that it was just page after page of the word blowjob.
We didn't actually check.
In other news. What the fuck are you doing reading Cosmopolitan?
I was in the bathroom, there was nothing else to read, and there was a girl on the cover of it. What can I say?
I see. You can say, I'm a huge flaming homo bag.
I could, but it wouldn't be true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like he's on fire. Luckily, he's near a bunch of water in the bathroom.
Naked Jew says, "Hey, Jake, please upload the show promptly." I can't.
What?
I won't have a copy of the show.
Oh, right.
So we're gonna have to rely on the. I'm gonna actually have to rely on a Naked Jew because what he does is he tells me as soon as the show is uploaded to the podcast.
Pesters you constantly until it's up.
No. I mean, the thing is, when I almost never forget to upload the show. Like, I mean, when we're doing the show at home, it always gets done, and. Yeah, he tells me when it becomes available on the podcast, and then I download it. It'll be nicer, because I don't have the fucking bitrate converter. In fact, I need to get Hot Stuff to convert the bitrates on the shows that I've been uploading.
You need
like
to go to Mos Eisley and pick up some bitrate converters.
excuse me.
I mean, don't you... doesn't iTunes do it?
I don't know, man. iTunes might, you know, taste like pumpkin pie, but I'll never find out because I won't use the filthy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Naughty Sorceress Apprentice says, you said you were looking for a way to expand the campground. Why not make the rest spot clickable and have it expand into a house-type area where things like the toaster can go? And let people use it as a limited display case if you have a high enough house rank. Since it's removed with each ascension, it's worth less than the display case. Limited items. The thing is, I don't want it to be extra clicks to get in there to rest. Right? Like, that is an idea that has come up in the past, but I don't know. Like, I don't feel like it's, I guess, you know, you could put the commonly used stuff inside the dwelling and have that be where the campground link goes, and then have a link from there to step out into your campsite. That's something that never occurred to me.
Huh.
That might work, though. I don't know. That's actually... That idea is probably worth thinking about some. let's see. Grethco says, I'm set to auto-attack with weapon. I am using the riding crop and Spanish fly trap. Bug catcher or feature?
Hey.
What?
I don't get it.
Was there any kind of
or oversight? I don't like. It doesn't. He doesn't say what's happening when he does that.
Is there some reason why he would not normally be able to have those things equipped at the same time or something?
Vraxdale says, just wondering. No. That was before something else. I was listening to a recent show and you were talking about how the iPhone update messed up your phone because of iTunes. If you're using Windows, this is a common problem people have been experiencing, and you just go to an Apple store and download it. Oh, okay. Now I'm just gonna drive halfway across fucking town every time they update the software on my phone because they can't be bothered to write a fucking usable piece of software for Windows.
I'm a guy who doesn't like Apple or its products or software, yet I own an iPhone because I'm that committed to looking like a douchebag.
It doesn't make me look like a douchebag. It makes me... I don't have a problem with Apple or their hardware or their software except for fucking iTunes.
Which is integrated into the whole iPhone thing.
Well, I didn't know that. I did.
You also didn't know that owning an iPhone makes you a douchebag.
No, it doesn't. Why does it make you a douchebag? Why does... It makes you... If a douchebag is somebody who, you know, when you're walking down the street in some foreign city and you want to know where the nearest comic shop is, you can pull out your phone, tap a few keys, and find out.
Pull out your $500 phone with the touchscreen and pull out this little mini monolith brick and sit there pushing on its shiny surface going, I'm so awesome, I bought a $500 phone instead of a $200 phone that would do exactly the same thing.
It is a $300 phone, and it is a $300 phone that is the successor to my 3-year string of $30 phones. So I don't even want to hear that.
I know.
I have to say, when
you bought the Lexus, I made fun of you, and rightly so, because what the fuck are you doing with an iPhone?
We used it as a map, and it was kind of awesome. It knew where we were. We wanted to go, and we could use it. It was just very easy to use it as a map as we moved around town. Having a portable Google Maps with a screen that just is sort of intuitively able to just sort of follow you. It's kind
of
awesome.
And you know, again,
it's the first generation of a piece of software that's overpriced, overhyped, and designed to make you look like a douchebag.
I didn't need a Lexus, but until that point, in my late 20s, I had never spent a cent on a car. I had been driving a vehicle with no air conditioning and 200,000 miles on it. So, you know, like, sorry, the Lexus seemed cool. And I had, you know, a friend of mine had a Lexus, and it was super reliable. They took really good care of you. And seriously, Hot Stuff can attest, it is a fucking beautiful machine.
It is my favorite car to drive. It is a perfect car.
I'm
not making fun of you for the Lexus anymore.
Okay.
I'm making fun of you for the iPhone because, man.
That's the new thing.
When you pulled that thing out, it was like, dude, it used to be about the music.
I mean, if you had like a BlackBerry, like having an iPhone now is like having a BlackBerry 10 years ago. It's just, oh, look at my shiny gadgets. Oh, yeah, it's Muffy. Yeah.
Well, sure, if you do that to people, but I don't.
He just uses it.
I don't.
Of talking on it in a public place or sitting around poking the little screen. Yeah, I don't know.
I got a lot of hate for the
iPhone.
I know. And I don't understand where it comes from, because it's a cool machine. It is a cool machine. We were hating on iPods until you were like, hey, we should get iPods. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. So we got iPods. What?
This administration has always supported iPods.
Sure. What was I just saying? It was something about something you were saying. That's
you were gonna say yes. I'm sorry that I'm being pretentious with my iPhone.
I'm not being pretentious with it. I'm not like I'm better than everybody. No. You don't understand, man. Me having the iPhone makes me better than other people, and that's what you don't get. Maybe the reason you don't get it is because you just haven't sort of ascended to the level of evolution that you know having an iPhone affords you, and you would get it if you just had one, you know.
Yeah.
And also, there's no fucking way I was going to pay $500 for a phone. I waited for it to get nearly half price before I even considered it. It was my fucking Christmas present to myself. It was an impulse purchase.
It was kind of like that a week before he got it, he was harshing on me for wanting one. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I'm calling you for my new iPhone. I was like, oh, really?
Did he say it like that, or did he say, I'm calling you for my new iPhone?
Oh, no. What I was going to tell you is I've watched far enough into the second season of Buffy that I know that I'm committing to it. So I got, it was amazingly cheap to get the entire series on DVD in that, like,
yeah,
that sort of, like, awesome pack. You must have spent a fortune on it buying it a season at a time.
Yeah, I was going to say it is irritatingly cheap to get the whole season now. For me, because...
The one that I borrowed from the guy here was the like, crazy low space pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really nice. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I got to say, though, the... increase in quality between the first and second season is pretty staggering. I had not been warned about the first season, I think that I would have given up.
Hmm.
I don't know, man.
I guess it's just, a lot of people do feel that way. I don't.
The thing that got me about it is okay. So there's because like oh you know the whole gimmick of the show is I am a really important person whose job it is to slay vampires, and also I'm in high school, and there are just a lot of jokes that are like, but now we face the real horror, a biology test, right? There's a lot of jokes like that, but in the first season, there are like 20 jokes like that per episode, and they really bother me every single time, and the fact that there are only 4 or 5 per episode in the second season just make it a million times better. Like, my reasons for feeling that way, I will admit, are just ridiculously picky. But
so you'll enjoy it a lot more in season 4 when they get out of high school completely.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to that, like seeing the people sort of as adults, you know. And
we watched it all the way through again recently, and that did strike me that when those episodes were first airing, when I was 2 to 5 years out of high school, like still in college, that was the most interesting part of the series. And it kind of went downhill for me after that. Huh. But now it's more, man, high school, I don't really remember high school well enough for that to be relevant to me. And, like, the sixth and seventh season actually played better.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm only in the... The first season was very much like... It reminded me a lot of, like, Friday the 13th, the series.
Uh-huh.
You know, where every episode is just about some big evil thing that is discovered, understood, and crushed in the course of a single episode.
Right.
Like, there was just really no overarching structure at all. Even though in the second season, that overarching structure is just all kind of, like, soap opera, you know, like, who's dating who this week, but,
right.
like, at least there is some conceit to the idea of the series as a whole composition, rather than
well, there's
just
a
episode.
They did a lot of Freak of the Week shows, but it's a, there's also just the big bad for each season. Like, the Master is in this throughout season one, and through season two, there's something that builds. Through season three, there's something that builds.
I mean, presumably, it's like the whole Spike and Drusilla thing, right? I mean,
right.
but although, I remember seeing bits of episodes from that lead me to believe that Spike is just sort of in the entire series and then goes on to be in Angel, too. Right?
Pretty much. It's...
Which...
It's
I feel like they
a
have
satisfying
to, point,
progression.
I mean, I feel like at some point they have to make him more sympathetic, because it doesn't seem like you could just have, like, somebody that evil who keeps coming back and doesn't get his comeuppance, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there's a... It's actually on the Television Clichés website. Spikeification is a word that they use for taking a totally badass villain and cutting them down to size until they fit in with the rest of the series.
Hmm.
Kind of like the Flandersification of the characters to make them so ridiculous that they're not, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to having seen more of it so I can talk to you about it some more.
Totally. And I'll quit harshing on your iPhone. I don't know. Our contract our contract's up in a month, and we'll see what kind of ridiculous phone I end up with, and then you can make fun of me for my like pink candy bar phone that
right here, plays
music and sucks dick. I was surprised you didn't give me more shit for my laptop being brown instead of black or gray.
You know, I didn't even look at it.
It's chocolate brown.
Huh. Because the thing that you sent me just didn't have a picture. So
it's a sexy little beast, I have to say.
Yeah. How big is the screen?
14 inch wide screen ish. And
I've been deeply satisfied with this Bio. It's a workhorse, you know. This is like the fourth really serious trip that I've taken, you know, multiple week trip where it is my only computer and it is, you know, it's fine. It's just a workhorse. Sony Bio, everybody. JIC tested, JIC approved.
I mean, I like my PowerBooks, or I guess they're MacBooks now, but I have been having some weird problems with it. But I also tend to use it up the wazoo.
Yeah.
Out the yin-yang, as it were. Rook's getting a desktop. He's moving on from pretentious art school kid to a guy who lives in a house. Hot Stuff hasn't quite made that leap yet.
No, I live in a cave.
Yeah.
Plus, if I could ridge, is more of a ridge, I guess.
It's sort of, you've got this little cliff dwelling on the side where no sunlight ever enters. It's just the desiccated corpses of your ancestors scattered all around.
I gotta have something to nibble on.
It's true. Great Grandpa Jerky.
Oh, come on, he was a decent enough guy.
You know, he had a predilection for crank phone calls, but who didn't? You know, it was the 1770s.
When you first met me, I was a jerky boy.
Hoopity says, "Hey guys, thanks for the board game tips from last week. We picked up Puerto Rico and are loving it with and without alcohol."
Slide of hand,
promise, of course, alcohol choice.
I've been loving your mom with and without alcohol. No, I never love your mom without alcohol.
You never do anything without alcohol. Come on.
That's a good point.
We went to a game store when we were wandering around Harvard Square, and it was an interesting experience because there was one of those physical puzzles where there's like interlocking pieces, and it was like wrapped in plastic, and I was like, this looks interesting, but like, unless I actually get to touch it and see what it's like, there's no way that I would ever buy it. And it had just like a reclosable opening and closing package. I was like, well, you know, I'll just open it and see what it's like. So I like pop open the first two corners, and the store owner like says, "Close that, please, sir." But I was like, okay, fine. So I closed it and put it back on the shelf. I was like, I'm not going to buy it because I have no idea what it's like. And then we continued to sort of wander around the store or whatever. And I was just sort of fooling around with one of the other physical,
like a display model display of puzzle. Like a metal ring interlocking puzzle thing, right?
And so I'm screwing around with that, and the store owner comes over like to the aisle where we're all sort of looking at stuff, and he can't really see what I'm doing, so he goes around the whole aisle and comes around and looks on from the other side, just like really sort of furrowed brow, and we're like, wow.
And you're not very much treating us like people who are going to steal stuff.
Like, and I didn't feel like we were being particularly
shifty
or whatever, and so.
I mean, you're white.
Yeah.
So of course we're not going to steal anything.
But I mean, I just don't know how he can handle.
Unless he was Native American, maybe he was afraid we were going to steal his land.
Right.
Oh,
did you have any beads?
We did offer him some blankets.
Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, it just seemed like I was just surprised that somebody with that sort of like level of anxiety could do that and not flip out.
Yeah. Contrast the guy at the comic shop who, you know, same age, same build, same general characteristics, but was just a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Who was like, you know, hey, can I help you find anything? As opposed to, hey, are you guys stealing anything?
Maybe they just have different training programs.
Must be. But it's like a game store, you know? I mean, not like.
Did we see any other cool board games while we were there that we were interested in? There was the. Oh my god, another gigantic expansion to
Arkham Horror.
Arkham Horror.
Yeah.
We still haven't played a whole game of that.
We haven't. It's a. Say what?
Some of the guys up here are into that. So I guess we're going to be playing it soon.
Yeah, I mean, tell me how it turns out. Like, we end up. It's just sort of. I feel like the first few times you play it, it just takes hours and hours and hours to set up and sort of understand the rules. Like, that is a game that could really use a computer to play it on. Is sort of my assessment of the situation. I mean, I would buy it. I would pay $50 for that game as a piece of software.
Yeah.
You know, that you could play with other people.
God, there was a Lord of the Rings game that's a tabletop game that one of the guys has here that
I've heard that's really good.
It's from the 50s or something. You're like, based on the books. And it's a hexagon game, and the hexes are like an inch tall. And it's just like 300 of them is the board. And every piece has a good 3 pages in this huge, dense instruction manual to describe how they all work. And it's really interesting because it's like, it's a game that attempts to program you to let the game run as if it were on a computer, before computers existed. Just the most ridiculously complex set of rules to really, kind of realistically put you in this gameplay environment.
That's
and
how
it's completely unplayable, but
there's all these, like, there are paths through the board designated by these little symbols. And then the monsters have little symbols on them that determine, like, where they move from a given square during a given, like, moon phase, sort of. And that's the kind of thing where it's, like, just, you know, you need to, like, and Arkham Horror was very much made in the era of computers.
Yeah, that's the one I was
And also,
thinking
there
of.
Are a lot of things where, like, there are 50 little decks of cards that you have to divide into, you know, you have to divide up into 50 piles, keep them in different places. Each of them has 4 or 5 cards in it. Each of the cards has 3 or 4 different things that happen depending on a die roll or whatever. Why isn't that a book rather than a bunch of cards, you know? Like, or
some just weird interface choices.
Yeah, and I mean, and I feel like to some extent it's they're trying to, you know, they don't want it to be a tabletop role-playing game, right? Because it's a board game, but it's too complicated. It's not even complicated, it's just cumbersome.
And then there's like I think 2 expansions that add extra boards and another 2 or 3 that add more decks of cards and
yeah. I mean, I have a good-sized dining room table. Right, I mean, it's probably, wow, 50 inches square, and it was not big enough to play the game on. Not 50 square inches, but like 50 inches by 50 inches, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Ah. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I've been freezing my ass off in my basement cave. But, it got warm. We had, like, a warm spell, and it was 30 today. Shit was melting. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was, like, crazy nice here yesterday, and then today it was all gloomy again. Huh. Gleave says there's 242 stars in Galaxy, 121st star for both characters.
Oh, jeez. If somebody got 241 and then stopped, did they save? Or I don't know how it's played. But you have to go through the whole thing again.
Nah, you wouldn't.
Okay.
242. That's kind of cool that there are 242 stars.
5242 is an excellent band.
Yeah. Gleave says he thought Tom Petty looked like Chris Elliott pretending to be Tom Petty.
I don't see Chris Elliott. I definitely saw a little Jim Henson going on there.
I don't actually know what Jim Henson looks like.
He looks like Tom Petty did in the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, okay. What else happened in the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah, just him. He came out. Oh, there was this giant stage with a giant flying, like a giant neon guitar crashing into a giant heart in a very phallic way, and then it lit up and he was on stage and he played like four songs in their entirety instead of taking the like 1 minute of each song route that Prince did last year. But the best part of it was the screens behind him that apparently they decided, okay, our design aesthetic is we want to have giant screens behind him. We don't know what the fuck to put on them. So like during Don't Back Down, it was showing the lyrics as he sang them, but with various effects, like the don't would swoop in from above, and then the back would kind of zoom in from off-screen, like iris in and iris out, like all of the Photoshop effects on the lyrics.
Lens flare!
Yeah, and every time they hit a guitar solo, there would just be this, like, Guitar Hero-esque image of frets running up and down the screen with little arrows going up the strings that didn't really correspond to anything that was happening on the guitar, but yeah.
Did Justin Timberlake run in and pull out Tom Petty's dick and wave it around?
Sadly, no.
Yeah, I bet you would have liked that.
I'd actually forgotten about the Justin Timberlake Janet Jackson show. I was thinking of the commercial that featured Justin Timberlake kind of getting the shit beat out of him for 20 seconds. No, that was a good minute of just Justin Timberlake sliding across the ground, running into stuff. It was kind of fun.
Comedy gold.
Yeah.
Mr. Roar says both Pokemon Snap and Pilot Wings sucked balls. I think
you're
going to have to disagree with you there.
Giga Shadow 555 wants to know what's the word on custom titles, and so do I.
I believe that a significant amount of work has been done on that today by Xenophobe. So it's I'm guessing that's something we'll launch this month and see what's what.
Cool.
We came up with some clever tricks for avoiding some of the pitfalls and pratfalls that we anticipated.
Nobody can use OMG to clit. Is it?
Yeah. We're thinking about a policy that you can't use anything that isn't a word.
Yeah.
I mean, because what we're trying to, I don't know. Like, the goal of that is to avoid, it's chunky feces, the level 12, lowercase x, capital X, lowercase x, hyphen, hyphen, tilde, tilde, asterisk, asterisk, douchebag, asterisk, 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 hyphen, hyphen, tilde, tilde, lowercase x, capital X, lowercase x.
Well, we just wouldn't.
Bracket, 8 equals 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 D.
Right.
We
wouldn't let that one through. If they're all going to be vetted. But, you know, what if I wanted to be Fripp Nopri, the grand poobah of Flambonia? You know?
I'm not saying that, like, things that aren't actual words wouldn't get allowed. That's not what I mean.
Those special characters.
Not even special.
No punctuation.
10 X's in a row would not be allowed. You know, like just that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, we're gonna need to make some decisions on what's allowed in the spirit of these things. You know.
Yeah,
I would imagine just having a pretty loose set of guidelines for the dev people. Like, if you wouldn't allow this as a player name, or you wouldn't allow this to be said in chat, or if it's very clearly griefing, you know, it's like the big old homo, you know, it would probably not get through. Unless it was for Lex, you know, somebody who is actually a big old homo. There's going to be some gray area.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, and maybe we can have a really ambiguous policy on, like, racial slurs, and then you and I can have a big fight about it on the air.
Yeah,
awesome. You know, a big whoop. You want to fight about it?
Leon
Rev says, well, here, the teacher can claim it is disruptive, by which they mean bullshit. Also, that teacher hated me anyway. She thinks that even if you ace every test, sleeping still makes you fail. I hate.
I hate.
That's got to be rough for teachers, right?
Well, structure your class such that you can't sleep through the class and pass all the tests. In other words, make the class worth being in.
And but I mean, you know, how do you do that? How do you do that in high school, right? Because you're not really allowed to fail anybody.
Yeah.
Which I mean, that is itself complete bullshit. And I think that the world would be a much better place if, you know, high school was optional, and the people who fail out of high school just don't get as good at jobs as the people who deserve to go to college. You know.
Well, the problem is now the education, the quality of public education has gone down so much that jobs that used to require a high school diploma are requiring a college degree because they know that you can get a high school diploma and still be unable to even tie your own fucking shoes.
Right, but I mean that's you know, that is not a problem, I don't think, with the level of education that
Velcro.
That's not a problem with the level of education. That's a problem with the sort of mentality that you're not allowed to fail anybody at anything, you know? Public education can only be so bad, right? Because how hard is it to teach high school algebra? Not hard at all. There's going to be somebody who can competently teach high school algebra who's willing to work for a high school teacher's salary. And the problem is that you get B's in that class or C's in that class without knowing any fucking algebra. Because the teacher is not allowed to give you bad grades.
I don't know that.
Because then you just have to fucking stay in school forever. Because you are legally required to attend high school.
Until you're 18. Forever is, you know, short.
I just think it's bullshit. You know, the
I don't understand where this "you're not allowed to fail" people thing comes from. People fail out of high school a lot.
I don't think it actually happens. I think fucking grade inflation at, like, Harvard.
Sure.
You know?
But that's different, right?
It's subtly different, but it's the same kind of shit, man.
I got all A's on my classes at Harvard.
You got all A's, fucking papers that I read. The papers that I read from Harvard seniors that my friend was grading and was giving B's and C's to, I would not have let these people out of the sixth fucking grade if they couldn't write any better than this. And, you know, just the fact that I honestly, like, I don't think that high school teachers are allowed to fail kids.
I think there's so much
pressure from the administration for everybody to graduate. Why is it then the fucking Ames test in Arizona?
Yeah.
The Ames test. The measure saying that you have to be able to pass this standardized test at least the level of someone who is retarded in order to graduate from high school. That we cannot do it. You can't do it.
Arizona's education system is the 50th worst in the nation.
Yeah, I was going to say you also start, you put like a measure like that in and you start teaching to the test as opposed to actually teaching knowledge.
Right. Which is problematic, but I mean, that's the thing. That's why they approach it. They say, okay, the goal of education is to get people to pass this test because the goal of education is to get people a high school diploma, not to actually fucking teach anybody anything.
Right, because the goal of our educational system is to produce a bunch of, service industry workers, basically. I mean, that's what we're doing, right?
But service industry workers don't need high school diplomas. They need to be able to
do some basic math, you know.
And they can. They can or they can't get jobs in the service industry, you know.
Right, but you want to. But basically, what you want to do for employers is you want to certify them that this person can do basic math. They have graduated from high school. That's what it's supposed to be.
The problem is that it no longer works.
Well,
you look at somebody with a high school diploma. You no longer can trust that they can form a complete sentence. You no longer can trust.
So that's why you have to have a college degree to work at Arby's now.
I have some friends who have years of real life experience in various industries, but can't get jobs because they don't have a college degree. And that's kind of sad because they're actually smart people.
And the thing is, I mean, I honestly feel like the only jobs that should require college degrees are, say, teaching college. You know, or jobs that require specialized knowledge that you can only learn in college.
You know,
I mean,
teaching high school, it is, as a student, especially, you know, a student that's going to be above the curriculum or you know, challenging the curriculum, or the curriculum by itself is not challenging to them. Having a teacher who knows a lot more about the subject will help those kids
I definitely think that high school teachers should be required to go to college. That was not the assumption trying to make. Like, I'm saying, you know, but that's the thing. That's the kind of job that should require a college degree. I don't think you should have to have a college degree to be a cop. Because you just end up with a bunch of cops with just these joke degrees, and so all you've accomplished is putting them in a bunch
of debt.
Well,
like, okay, so maybe that's, I mean, you know, maybe the system is kind of trying to, in order to create a pliable workforce, you have to have them effectively be wage slaves because they're in so much debt from going to college, and that's why they want people with college degrees. Is they don't want people with college degrees because they're not necessarily proves that they're qualified.
It just proves that they're willing to be consumers in.
No, it proves that they need the job.
Right.
You know, I mean, think about it though. As an employer, if you're, I mean, maybe you're not even doing it consciously. You're like, I want somebody who's going to stick around for a couple of years. If you hire someone that is financially
already independently wealthy,
there's nothing.
You have to keep
them
happy, or there's nothing that they're going to.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to do anything for you. Yeah, I mean.
You know, and I don't know that this all happens. I don't feel like there's necessarily some sort of secret cabal of people saying, "Ooh, you know, we better force everyone to go to college and get, you know, into."
It's the Republicans, man.
Yeah, it's the Republicans.
I don't know. I just know that I looked over the shoulder of a high school teacher, a friend of mine, as she was grading papers, and I said, "I cannot believe that you're letting this pass." And she was like, "Yeah, they really don't want us to. They really don't want us to give kids Fs."
This wasn't.
Well, it's the same problem that I had teaching that freshman comp class. Is if I actually adhered to the standard that I thought they should be writing to, I would have failed every single student from that class, and then I would have been in trouble. Rather than try and fix the problem, which I couldn't as a part-time teacher, I just lowered my standards.
Yeah.
When I got to MIT, we had to take like a freshman writing test or whatever, and they fail like half the people who take the test, and you're required to take a basically, you know,
remedial
writing class, and I failed when I got there. I was like, what the hell? Like, I don't know that I'm the best writer in the world, but I, you know, I could form.
But you got straight A's in high school. I mean, it's
I also feel like I can form a competent sentence, you know, and I was just really surprised.
They're just trying to scare you, you know.
It was kind of effective, you know. I paid a lot more attention to my writing. Or whatever.
See, I got to college and took the writing assessment, and they were like, "Yeah, you don't need any English." I was like,
"You don't need no English."
But, you know, I've just always been a brilliant writer. Everything that has dripped out of my pen has been solid gold since the day that I was born.
You go in killing a boar?
Yeah, you go killing a pig. Exactly. I am like a barometer for the evolution of language. That will be a perfectly acceptable sentence structure in 20 years. Because that's what barometers do. They predict the future.
They kind of predict the future in the sense of weather. You know.
Alrighty then.
I had to rain on your English.
Are we about done, Scully?
Yeah, we're about out of here. Alright, I'll see you guys on my show tomorrow, and are you doing a Thursday show?
Yeah, actually we're not flying home until Friday, so we will be here Thursday as usual.
Alright. Groovy, we'll talk to you all later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.